Dude, we are going to energize the country.
Stop Brexit.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Another future's possible, but we've got to fight for it.
Order!
Hello and welcome to the Debated Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Will. And in this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by an actor and TikTok star and social media star, Meggie Foster. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you very much for having me. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. So the first question that I like to ask is, I know that, you know, you've said that in previous interviews that when you started doing the political TikToks, that this was something that you had done before, but, you know, it wasn't something that you shared more widely. What sort of expectations did you have when you put out your first TikToks on the political theme?
Oh, on the political theme. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, going down that first political route, I actually was asking family and friends for suggestions of clips to do. So they were sending me YouTube videos, and there was this one of a protester from the elections last year, and she was saying that she wanted to be a doctor, but that she wanted to kill Boris, and she cared for people. So the whole thing was just hilarious, because, like, what she was saying didn't really fit what she was... And also, she was in a very, very posh accent. But what she was saying was very left-wing, and I think people are under the assumption that, you know, the posh you are, the more right-wing. So the juxtaposition was just fantastic. So I thought, oh, just hammer up, put her in a faux tweed outfit with a gold-rimmed goblet. And I was putting them on Instagram, mainly for my, like, friends on Instagram. I didn't, I wasn't really bothering about Twitter for a while. I kept coming on and off. And I was posting them to Twitter anyway, just because. And it got picked up on there. And then that just started going round and round. And then I think I did... and then I did a few other ones, and then I did the Stay Alert Boris and Theresa. Now, that, because that was so relevant, it was the day after. I think he had done his speech at 7 p.m. on the Sunday, and I filmed at 6 a.m. on the Monday. So because it was so fresh, I think that's really what got people's attention. And yeah, I mean, that's when I think I started really going viral, which is a very weird sentence to say, but yeah.
You described sort of the costume you used for that first one. I wonder, when you're thinking about how to differentiate characters and the way that you're making them appear visually, do you have anything particular going in mind when you're listening to the audio clips, or is there something that from listening to them then influences how you make them appear in the videos?
Yeah, I mean, visually anyway, a bold colour always grabs people's attention, hence why the majority are quite striking colours. I'm not trying to be that person. So, you know, for the Natalie Bennett one, I was wearing a green dress because she's the Green Party. Diane Abbott, she was wearing red because it was Labour. So that sort of is influencing me, not that I'm saying I'm becoming that character, of them as a person, but, you know, that's the sort of thing I go for. And then obviously Priti Patel, for example, I just had this lime green tracksuit, which I thought would fit a young, person who'd like to drink. Not that, you know, but yeah. So it's just bold colours really, and things that look good on the camera.
You say you're not actually becoming the people. Where do you sort of like draw the line between, say, yourself and someone who would do impressions, say someone like Jan Ravens or Jane Brown or someone like that? Where do you draw the line? Do you think that you're on the same sort of like spectrum of impressions, or how do you differentiate yourself?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because, you know, I'm not like Meghan Markle, for example. She didn't, if you watch the actual clip, she doesn't make any movement at all, really. She's very still. And, you know, if I was doing an impression of her, that would be in a very boring video. What I'm doing is heightening things. You know, Priti Patel obviously wasn't drinking and smoking. It's just adding things. I'm not trying to impersonate them as such. And also, obviously, I'm not doing their accents either. It's their real words. So it's I don't know really what you'd call it. I'm not really sure. That's how I differ from them. And another thing is that I'm not making up anything that they're saying. They said all these things. So, and I think that's what's quite funny about it as well, because, you know, you take the actual words and put them in ridiculous situations. But then I guess the other hand of what other people have been doing is doing them with maybe different words and putting them into their actual situation. So I think I'm kind of doing the opposite, you know?
Yeah. I just wonder, talking about impressions, I mean, have you ever tried any sort of vocal impressions yourself? Is that anything that's ever interested you at all? Or?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I went to drama school, so I'm quite good at accents. Not all accents, but I'm quite good at them. My great-grandfather was very good at impressions, and I think that sort of gene has probably followed down. So, I mean, when I was, you know, me and my brother and my sister were all very good at impersonating people. So if I was actually trying to be Meghan Markle, I probably could do it quite well. Or, you know, someone's accent, et cetera. And I definitely would love to do that. And I'm obviously now thinking about where I can take this, because now I've obviously got this platform, and I'm very grateful to have sort of been noticed. And it's every actor's dream, right? To be noticed. It's a difficult industry. So, you know, I need to take it with both horns and you know, create some stuff of my own. And potentially that would be me doing accents and impressions.
I think you mentioned, or it might have been Lorraine Kelly that mentioned this when you were being interviewed by her, the potential of some sort of like Meggie Foster show or something like that. I mean, would that be something that you think would work better on like an online platform like YouTube Red, or do you think that that would work better as something for TV? What would be your thoughts if you had an opportunity like that?
Yeah, I think either, really. I think everything's going online now. I think that's the, you know, we're watching Netflix instead of, you know, on the TV. It's more accessible. You can, you know, go back and watch it. I'm not adverse to being on the TV. Gosh, I mean, it would be a dream to be like, oh God, like having my own sort of show. It depends, like, how long they are, I guess. Because, you know, Catherine Tate's show, I think they're probably about 20 to half an hour episodes. And it would depend on that. But also, you know, I would like to collaborate with comedy writers. I'm not a professional writer. You know, I can bring people's work to life, absolutely, and give my creative input, but I think it would be definitely something I would need to collaborate with a comedian or someone in that sort of who's better suited to that, because I'm not sure how many people would find my stuff on its own quite funny. I think I'm great, but
I think you mentioned also in that interview with Lorraine that one of the people that has influenced you and that you were grateful for interacting with on Twitter was Dom Jolly. Are there any other comedians that you have found particularly influential in the way that you make your content, or is the way that you make your content something that you don't think applies to previous comedians?
Yeah, I mean, Catherine Tate, for example, obviously that's not like taking it, but she's making new characters, right? So they sort of like short skits definitely inspired like what I'm doing. Dom Jolly, obviously, he's just hilarious, Impractical Jokers, all that stuff. I'm quite like, as a person, quite like mischievous and like, you know, and doing all that sort of thing. You know, Ab Fab. I think, you know, Patsy and how over the top she is definitely influences how I'm doing my facial expressions. I think it is it's not supposed to be realistic. It's supposed to be over the top and, you know, like Drag Race and stuff like that. You know, it's supposed to be bold and everything like that. So those sort of things definitely have inspired me. Actually also who's inspired is other people on TikTok. When I've been watching other people, maybe certain ways they enter the scene, I've nicked. So yeah, I mean, loads of different things inspire me. I haven't really seen any lip syncs in the way I'm doing it in terms of like creating my own stuff. But yeah, I mean, influences from all over the shop, really. But I guess really just the over the top, it's not naturalistic. That's, you know, it's not supposed to be naturalistic. I do love naturalistic theatre. Like, I just watch Normal People. I don't know if you know it on BBC. And that's very, very, very good acting. Fantastic series. And that's not what this is. This is totally heightened and over the top. So... But I think it works for short clips that aren't realistic, you know.
I wonder, how do you choose the particular pieces of media that you will then create content with. Because, of course, as you said, some of the work like the Boris Johnson and Theresa May one, that was, you know, sort of the morning after. But, for example, the Diana Abbott one was, I think, a couple of years ago, and I think the Natalie Bennett one was a bit ago as well. What makes you pick on particular clips to use?
Yeah, so I mean, in themselves, I think, you know, they're quite famous. They're quite iconic moments that people remember. And, you know, the Stay Alert one, for example, it wasn't a funny piece of material. I just interpreted and made it funny. But I think, you know, with Diane Abbott not knowing her numbers and Natty Bennett not knowing her numbers, that in itself is quite funny, and it was in the news, so they're quite easy to find. But with like the Caroline Flynn, Emily Thornberry making that funny, I mean, those weren't in that conversation never happened. They were two separate interviews that I mashed together. Luckily, I've got my brother who works, actually, he's a journalist, so we bat ideas back and forth of each other. So, you know, I'll give him some credit for that for sure. But yeah, I mean, the most of the stuff that I've done, I think, are kind of, people know those clips, and I think that's why people reshare them, because they remember them. So yeah, I mean, in terms of that, but then obviously, like, I think, you know, the Priti Patel one and stuff like that, you know, that was iconic as well, but that was much more recent. So I think that's probably why that particular one got picked up a bit more, just because they're more, they're newer clips. So yeah.
Are there any particular politicians that you haven't done yet that you would particularly like to? I mean, obviously, you've not done anything on, say, Trump or Corbyn yet. Would you be interested in doing something with them, or...?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, if I find a clip. With Trump, no. And simple reason is because Sarah Cooper has, you know, she's incredibly good at that. And I think we have to have some artistic sort of respect for one another. And she's very, very good at it. And I think, you know, for me just to go in there and then start doing Trump would be unfair. And I think I think I've never spoken to her on the phone or anything, but I think, you know, it's a respect in the industry that, you know, you don't really touch someone else's stuff, and I'm happy not to. I did have a lot of requests at the beginning, and I was thinking of doing it, but then obviously I saw Sarah was doing it, and I was like, absolutely not. So Trump, I wouldn't do. Corbyn, yeah, absolutely. But then I also do want to go down the showbiz route. You know, politicians are obviously, it's one tool in my toolkit. I think there's a lot of stuff out there that's funny, that, you know, presenters, and that, I've done a few presenters already. Maybe they're sort of news related, but there's a lot of content, and I don't want, you know, I want to open my audience as well to, you know, my age that maybe aren't more into politics, and just, you know, see what works. And, you know, it might fail, but if you don't try, you never know. So go for it.
In terms of sort of like the extent that you can carry a piece of material, I mean, how long do you think that you could reasonably do a video? Because I know obviously that, say, for example, on TikTok and on Twitter, there are certain limits in the time that you can do a clip. But I mean, like for YouTube, for example, would you do anything, say, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes? What do you think is the limit? Or is
there a limit? I mean, are you talking in lip-syncing terms? Or?
Yeah, in terms of lip-syncing terms.
Okay. I mean, yeah, absolutely. It does. I mean, 1 minute takes me from 2 to 5 hours to do. So it would be a case of doing that. But I think the reason why they're so popular is because they're so easy to watch in a minute. Yeah. And they are easily shared. So I wouldn't want to over egg it. And I think I kind of take a Brechtian view of this. He's a theatrical practitioner, and he's very minimalistic. So, you know, I only use props that are supposed to be there. So I wouldn't want to do a 5 minute piece for the sake of it. It would have to be a reason that was needed. And I think the majority of stuff out there, I mean, longer clips, like even the Natalie Bennett one that I just did, that's not all in sequence. We chopped it up, all the good bits, and putting it into a short clip. And I think it works that, but then obviously if, you know, I had an idea and it was a bit longer, then for sure. But I don't think it needs to be.
I mean, in terms of doing, because I mean we've talked about you doing impressions that aren't lip syncing, in terms of that kind of thing, would you still be wanting to do it as just you on your own, or do you think, I mean, in terms of performing, would you want other people to be involved? Say if you were doing impression-based sketches, what would be your thinking in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, I've had, I'm not going to say too much, but I've had, definitely had, like, I've been brainstorming ideas. I have a lot of ideas involving other people. I definitely think that it would be. I think it might get a bit boring, just me. I think people just get bored on my face. So definitely having guests and stuff like that. I think it's so open, right? There's, you know, it could just be me the whole one episode, and then, you know, next episode I bring someone in, or an actress in, or whatever. Like, there's so many, but I would never be adverse to it. I think it's a great idea. It keeps it fresh and, you know, evolving yeah. the lip syncs, which is great. Yeah.
In terms of sort of like the popularity that you've gained from this, have you ever encountered any sort of downsides, or felt any downside to it at all, or has it just been entirely positive?
Yeah. Honestly, like, it's been completely positive. I have been overwhelmed. I always struggled with, you know, thinking about going into the industry, because I thought it was, you know, quite judgmental. Not only in, like, material being made in acting, but, like, also materialistic, like, how you look, and are you fat or thin, or anything like that. And I think I've been overwhelmed with how little comments I've got about that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's really refreshing, because I was, you know, it's scary, like, being, and I've never, this is the first time it's happened. So I've just been really pleasantly surprised how little comments about my looks there've been, and the way how, you know, what I look like. And I think it's just really, really refreshing. And I've got to give the human race a bit more credit, I think. So yeah, no, it's been really positive. I've not really had any bad comments, which has been great. And I think everyone could see that everything that I'm doing is a joke. So even if it's about, you know, a politician, I think, you know, because of the MPs that have been in touch with me, they can also see that this is a joke. There's no malice behind any of this. It's all in good faith. And it's actually lovely to see that the politicians also can see that. You know, we're not in a very happy world right now. And I think it's just, you know, everyone needs to laugh a bit, smile, put a smile back on people's face, which I hope that I've been able to achieve.
We're coming towards the end of the podcast. It's been great speaking to you, Meggie, and I've got one final question for you. If you could work with any performer at all in doing a sketch or a lip sync or whatever, who would it be? Anyone at all, living or dead?
Living or dead? Okay. If I could do a lip sync, who would it be with? I am going to say Julie Andrews. And the reason being is because she was the founder of my drama school, and she's just an iconic lady that's played amazing parts. And I very much admire her as my favourite actress.
Well, I think that's a terrific answer, and I think it would be an interesting combination if it were ever to happen. Thank you once again for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. Don't forget that you can subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, or YouTube. You can follow us at Debated Podcast on Twitter. Like us, Debated Podcast on Facebook. And if you want to email us, either about appearing or making a comment or reaction to the episode you've heard, or any other episodes, then email us thedebatedpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I hope you listen to the next one.